What's up?
Not a lot. I thought I'd talk to you guys about internet radio versus terrestrial radio for a while.
Sure.
Station was doing in Vancouver, and what your plans were for the future.
Right.
What do you find advantageous about internet radio versus terrestrial radio? Why, for example, didn't you pursue co-op radio, for instance, CFRO in Vancouver, or have you thought about doing both? How does this suit your plans for success?
Well, the plans for success.
Plans for success.
Plan to dominate the Earth. Internet radio pretty much allows us to do anything we want, which is the large advantageous part of it.
Yeah, it's about control. whenever you work for, like, I don't know if you've ever listened to the co-op radio in Vancouver, but it's pretty left-wing. And if you have any kind of, in a way, some people would say, well, that's really, really good, but I think the pendulum's swung too far the other way. Rant radio started out as just like a free medium for people to express their thoughts for people on the street. And that's what made it popular. I suppose it'd be safe to say that we never thought it would, you know, we were just screwing around, man, you know, like we never thought it would get this incredibly huge. We never expected, you know, to wind up in Wired and Spin and have fans all over the world and stuff. It was kind of a gag that started 4 years ago, and it just took off. So when you ask, you know, would we pursue terrestrial radio? Hey, if terrestrial radio gives us a call, probably. But I think that they might have a problem with some of our content, just a hunch. But
yeah. We're not used to sort of restricting ourselves too much to what we can and cannot say. And also, internet radio has a huge audience.
Massive following. Bigger than I thought.
No restrictions at all. Like, you can listen to it anywhere in the world. And terrestrial radio, well, you're limited to the signal, unless you're broadcasting over ham radio or something like that.
So it's a pretty interesting comparison. And in a lot of the ways, yeah, they're similar, but in a lot of ways, too, they're kind of apples and oranges. Because, yeah, technically we are broadcasting, we're just using a different medium, but we have no governing body whatsoever, and that is the strength of internet radio.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. I know with down in the States, you're still governed by the same rules that are on the radio as on the internet radio, but up in Canada, SoCan is pretty much given a free rein to say whatever you want.
Which is really how radio should be when you think about it. How any media should be.
Like, you're not forced to listen to it. It's not the government public official loudspeakers in the middle of every town.
Absolutely, and
you can turn the dial.
Oh yeah, and I'm the first one to admit that, you know, perhaps that the Rant Radio or Sean Kennedy Show should not be played to the kindergarten class. I'm the first guy in line with that. But you've got to, you know, it's something that's there, and it's a viable medium, and I think it's a great alternative to what people are currently experiencing with media, and they're very frustrated.
And I think people are seeking out types of radio like Rant Radio. You can see in the change in television attitudes towards sort of real TV type shows,
yeah,
where things are realistic, but they're still not getting the realistic that they need, right? All those shows are still scripted, but when they come to Rant Radio, it's just us on the microphone, unscripted, unrestricted,
completely live. And like I've said on the air before, we feel that why we feel that Rant Radio is going to be even more successful within the coming years is because following that trend where you have all these real TV and Survivor and all this crap that's on television, it's becoming more and more apparent that honesty is going to be the pornography of the 21st century. And that's where people want. They want something real. They want something tangible, something that's not totally prefabricated, form-fitted, polished, and then packaged. They want something that's real.
You've mentioned that your programming is geared toward providing people with a forum in which to express their ideas. I've taken a look at your website. You seem to have about 2 hours a day of spoken word programming versus about 22 of industrial techno stuff, of music, pre-recorded music. And you say on your site that you're interested in acquiring more talk jockeys, I suppose, TJs.
Right.
What are your plans for programming in the future? Is this part of it?
Definitely. We love the talk shows. They're very, very popular, and almost even more so than the music. More people tune in. And I think they're great. But I'm very, very picky about the stuff that does go on the station. It has to be very high quality, something that people would be interested in.
we do have a set of certain moral standard guidelines which we've thrown up, because when you take away all restrictions, you get every schizo on the Seven Straits showing up wanting to do a show.
That's right.
We don't do anything that is even remotely. There's been requests for racial stuff, and we're not interested in that at all. That's just ignorance. So
right wing religious things. We have a religious show on the station, sort of a spiritual show, actually.
Yeah, better. Yeah,
a better term for it.
Yeah,
but it covers the whole spectrum of religions and spiritualities, and it gives people a good balance, and that's what I like to see. Not just a one sided opinion, a very broad spectrum of opinions. That's what gives it the open forum that I like on Rant Radio.
What is your relationship with SoCan? You mentioned them briefly. Do all the artists with music on your station just sign off on the royalties, or is there some other legal loophole that protects you from having to answer to SoCan for everything you do?
Well, I have a love-hate relationship with SoCan.
Mostly hate.
Mostly hate at this moment. But before, they started... Well, they've been trying to hammer on us with the Tariff 22 for a while since... I believe 1996. But on the other hand, SoCan's been very liberal with the stuff you can put on the radio, on internet radio in Canada, or even radio itself, by giving a free rein to do whatever you want on the radio. But as of right now, they're trying to implement Tariff 22. As a lot of people know, I've been campaigning against Tariff 22 for the style of radio that I'm doing, which is a hobby-style radio, non-profit. Well, non-profit doesn't even fit the example, because non-profit, you actually make money. We're making zero money.
Yeah,
we're putting more money into it than we make no money, actually.
Yeah, we've never made a dime on Rant Radio. So the point of having us pay like thousands of dollars just to supply a hobby is ridiculous.
And the tariffs that they're proposing, I've calculated out at our listenership. Right now, it would run us about $15,000 a year. And they're very unclear about whether we have to pay back taxes on that or not. That's in quotes. But that would be enormous, and it would shut us down immediately. I would have to do that. But we've got things in place, like you mentioned, the artists giving us full permission to store and play their music.
Yeah, there's no illegal music whatsoever on Rant Radio. Everything we have here, as a matter of fact, the artists who SoCan is so, supposed to be protecting and looking out for the best interest for, these artists are absolutely rabid to have the exposure that Rant Radio gives them.
They love it. They put links up on their pages to Rant Radio.
It's just like, generally, we talk to the artists. The artists say it's cool. I really don't understand why SoCan's even involved. If we've contacted each and every artist and we have written permission from them, what's the big deal? Hands off.
That's right. And we've got things in place so we can take it to a point where SoCan can't even get involved. If they force us out of the country, that might happen, right? But we don't want to leave the country in terms of our broadcasting.
Yeah, but rest assured that Rant Radio will, like...
In one form or another, we will stay up.
Even if it turns into a bunch of guys driving around in a van broadcasting pirate, that's what it's going to turn into, but it won't stop.
And the style of music that we broadcast, they're very supportive of it. It's industrial music, EBM, synth pop, and these are bands that don't get exposed on any radio station or any television station, like...
Even the mega giants in the synth pop world, like KMFDM and things like that, they get exposure through movie soundtracks. Ministry, whatnot, has had exposures through movie soundtracks. But other than that, you would never hear these bands on radio stations. It just doesn't happen. You get other bands out there who are equally of good quality, SPF 1000 and whatnot, who are amazing bands, put out unbelievable quality of music, yet they cannot get radio play because of the style of music they play.
How is running an internet radio station in Canada different from running one in the United States? People can listen to internet radio from just about any place that there's a phone line, but you have to run it from somewhere. You have to broadcast from somewhere. And invariably, geographical considerations come into play. Following what's been going on in the States to a great extent.
Go ahead.
In terms of where you're broadcasting from, it doesn't really matter a whole lot except for the government, the governing body of in terms of taxing you and the artists. But we have it doesn't really matter where we're broadcasting from, because we've got mirrors all over the world from people who are setting up rebroadcast stations for us, say over in Europe and in the States and all over the world.
Australia
and stuff like that, for other people to listen in locally. So it doesn't, the where we're located really doesn't have much of effect onto it, except for the originating broadcast, which is how Tariff 22 and CARP in the States is going after. So if we move that, then it's irrelevant, really. We could move the originating broadcast to Europe.
The best way to put it would be to say that Rant Radio is not so much a station as it is a community, and the community is global. Therefore, Rant Radio is global. So it really doesn't matter where particular laws in particular countries move. Rant Radio will be able to go sideways and go to any country they need to in order to keep the quality of broadcast up.
Yeah, hence how the whole internet works. It's kind of ridiculous trying to govern the internet when it's a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah, they can give it the good college try, though.
I saw an interview in the Globe and Mail in July in which one of you was talking about your no revenue, no plans to get any business model, and I thought you might be willing to share some of your secrets with us. It's clear just by going to your site that you have an enormous pipeline at your disposal, and I thought you might have come up with some secret way to assure sustainability without having to sell out entirely or indeed at all.
Yeah, you bet.
Any tips on that?
Oh, you betcha. Be honest. Ask people. That's the only secret there is. We started out small. We provided a good quality product, which was the shows, and people liked it. We were more than often or not, we were offered the bandwidth because there are so many hungry people out there looking for entertainment that's not part of the infotainment industry, that's not part of the core political. That is what MGM, what Time Warner, what all these companies have become. People are sick of that, and people are not stupid. People are not wanting to sit back and watch Friends all the time. There's a whole nother culture of people that want something that's real and tangible, and Rant Radio has been catering to that culture, and that's why we've been growing. We have been growing and providing the bandwidth because the market is giving it to us because they are that hungry. The problem, one of the reasons why Rant Radio started and came on as strong as it is because we did not like the current media. If you hate the media, become the media. So that's exactly what we did. We became the media, and as it's very, very apparent from the site, from the feedback, from the global response, it's clearly a desire is there for that. And every single episode, every single day, Rant Radio gets stronger.
And like Sean touched on before, it is a community effort.
Very much. Very,
like,
very much.
Rant Radio is not Sean and me. It's everyone who listens, everyone who contributes art, the mirrors, the music, the audio things that people send in. It's a community effort, and people have donated all this bandwidth that we have. It's not we
purely for accolades. We simply stand back and go, wow, this person did this, thank you very much, and we're honest about it. And when you have that degree of honesty, when things are not scripted, when it's not, you know, can I get this icon in cornflower blue, when it's not that level of crap, people can feel that. They can feel it over the airwaves. They can feel it in real life. And it's real emotion. And that is what makes Rant Radio strong, is that it is unscripted and that it is unregulated. That's why we were able to grow at the rate we have been, because the demand is there.
And people are not stupid. They recognize what the truth is.
Oh,
they can tell.
Yeah, completely. It's pure honesty on the air all the time.
You've talked a little bit about the community that sprung up around this. What kind of community building have you done? I've seen some of the listener picks on the site. Do you have other things, scheduled events, face-to-face meetings that enable you to get in touch with your listener base and bring it all together a little better?
From time to time, I do put up events. There is an events section. It's not too often. Because of the nature of the station, people are spread out all over the world, like Australia and in the States.
There are listener parties, though.
There are listener parties. People have set up listener parties, and we do have a section in the forum for that, for people to get together and meet. And they also, people get together to listen to the shows that we broadcast. So there is a community effort, but it's sort of self-organized. We don't really force anything on people. It just kind of happens. It's kind of a magical thing, really.
One of the real communities that go there, which a lot of people may have a problem with, is the IRC chat room, which people gather in every Monday night. And we're getting up to around 100 people every night, spend 2 hours out. And they focus completely on the chat room. They're sitting at home. They log into a chat room, and they participate. So in essence, every Monday night, there's a meeting of over 100 people that gather together in cyberspace, for lack of a better term. And they... They interact. They have community and stuff like that. And it's there. And there's real care, real compassion goes on. A couple years back on my birthday, they didn't manage to pull it off, but they were going to set up a conference call all over the world with about as many people as they could get. But they had about 50 people working on it, where they were all going to phone me on my birthday on my cell phone and sing happy birthday on a conference call, but from people all over the world. And that's the kind of community and real personal touch that makes Rant Radio strong. So when you say, do we meet and do we have a community action? Yes, every time someone sits down and turns on the box, every time someone logs in to the computer subculture that is Rant Radio, yeah, there's a community meeting every day.
And Rant Radio extends more than just the radio station, too. There's people in the chat room that Sean was talking about that don't even listen to Rant Radio.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And they're just part of the Rant Radio community.
The culture of it.
Yeah, the culture of it. It's kind of strange, and I don't quite grasp it yet, but... and Sean and I do more than just the radio station, too. We have lots of
we don't make any money, we have to work.
That's right.
So,
and also we do a television show, too.
Yeah, and other radio broadcasts.
Radio broadcasts. We do a couple shows on Rant Radio. It's far extending. It's really a community. It's an idea.
It's actually kind of staggering how much work we do for free when you really sit back and think about it.
Our free time.
Yeah, so Yeah, now that you mention it, holy crap. But yeah, there's a lot we do. So, and people have been very receptive. To be honest with you, we cannot keep up with demand. The demand is so heavy for us to, if we were doing Tales from the After Now, a Rant Radio spoken word show.
On Tuesday nights.
Where it's a broadcast from the future, kind of Max Headroom meets Road Warrior. And we did 8 episodes. And then we had to take a break for 3 weeks because it's been, you know, life is there. We're trying to get everything organized. You know, I'm starting up my own business, blah, blah, blah. And then we're getting mail by the ton of people going, hey, where's episode 9? Where's episode 9 in German, in French, from Finland? You know, hey, we want more stuff, you know? And it's like, holy cow. So it's really, we don't run Rant Radio. Rant Radio runs us. So that's pretty much how that works.
And also lots of people over the years have... tried to get our station or our shows broadcast over their college radio stations, their high school radio stations. They rebroadcast it. They try to. They usually get shut down pretty quick because of us, of our content.
That would be my fault, yeah.
But they want to spread what we're doing out there because they believe in it. And they know our integrity holds true.
Yeah, we've got 4 years. We were here before the dot-com boom. We were here after the dot-com crash, and we're still broadcasting.
How do you know how well you're doing? I was able to go to the Shoutcast site and click on their stats link, and it told me that you're in the top 100 Shoutcast stations. You have over 30,000 listener hours per month. Do you have access to more specific information than that?
That is a good question that just about every media poses to us.
Yeah, how do you do it?
And it's kind of interesting because a lot of people focus on the money aspect of it, and they go, "Well, how many listeners do you have?" And they try to quantify it into, say, a dollar amount. And I usually don't pay attention too much to how many listeners we have. Sometimes I take a look, and I'm interested once in a while. But
it scares us every once in a while. Like, we just did a track that one of our shows, episode number 22, which wasn't a specific show, it's just a show. Since we started tracking, which was how long ago?
Since it was out, right?
Oh, so it was downloaded 1,000 times. And
that blew me away.
Yeah, we're like, what? Really? You know, it blows my mind. Don't ever think that we actually feel that we're some hyper quality thing. This whole phenomenon that is Rant Radio, the culture that's here, surprises the hell out of us. I mean, it's we know there's a lot behind the dogma and the theory, and you do the reading and all that, and you think, yeah, you know, the culture and community should be there. But when you actually see it in real life, it's a staggering thing. We don't care if there's 30,000 listeners or if there's 5. We're still going to keep doing the show. Even if it's just me and James talking on the mic to ourselves, which in the beginning days, there was more people sitting in the studio than there were listening. So it's...
We do it for us, really. Yeah. And then we just put it on the air.
Some people play golf. Yeah. This is what we do.
I did the math on it. It's not that difficult. You take the listener hours and divide by 720, which is the number of hours in 30 days, and it gives you the average listenership.
Yeah.
Averaging 48 listeners, and that's a 24/7 figure. That's 48 listeners
Well, that's pretty good.
Day and night, holidays, weekdays, weekends, the whole thing.
If you do want statistics, we have yeah. about 5,000 unique listeners.
Yeah, one of
per
those.
Month.
One of I can probably name them actually. It'd be like there'd be Templar Knights, Smokehouse, Kexler, Mr. Echo. I could probably name all 48 of the regulars who are there 24/7 every
right.
day, all day.
People listen at work. People listen at home. If they could listen in their car, they'd do it.
Yeah, which would be something we'd love to do. We'd love to put up our own little satellite.
Yeah.
But that takes money.
Which we don't have.
Yeah, but we're waiting for someone to give us a satellite. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
How do you see the project expanding in the future? Where do you plan to go from here? You've mentioned branching out into video, into internet television. What other media might you pursue, do you think?
Whatever media shows up. If we get 3D rendering technology, we'll do 3D rendering. If we can do video, we'll do video. If we can do Omnimax, we'll do Omnimax. We'll do it all.
We'll put ourselves in movie theaters. We'll put ourselves on TV. It's whatever is offered to us, really, without changing the ideals of what we do right now.
Yeah.
We wouldn't want to change ourselves to fit into somebody else's box. We want to stay true to what we're doing, and it's working, obviously, with no exposure, no advertising, nothing at all, just word of mouth, and we've come this far and stayed on this long.
The really difficult thing is because we have been approached in the past by people who wanted to buy the station, and they offered us money and things like that to run ads and all the rest of it. But the thing is, though, the moment you do that, the moment you quote-unquote sell out and you compromise your integrity and your values of Rant Radio loses its power, and our listenership will fall to zero inside of about 30 days. Our listeners are not stupid people. They would be able to tell in about 12 seconds if one of us sold out, and you'd watch the whole station would tumble into a spiral. So it's shorn up by our listeners' quality control. If they think something's screwed, they tell us. And
very vocal. Very vocal.
Very, very vocal.
And very loyal. People have been listening since this station's inception, and they haven't dropped off. Like, once people listen to the station, they don't generally stop. It seems.
Yeah, they it's
and they get into the whole experience of Rant Radio. They see all of our projects. They listen to everything. They get right into it,
which is somewhat staggering sometimes. Like, we've gotten emails from people who heard one show. We have 38 shows now.
Yeah.
We got an email from a guy from Scotland who found the show and then downloaded all 38 shows and listened to it back to back for 2 days straight and didn't deviate. And I'm like, my God, man, I don't know if I could do that. I can't even handle listening to myself for more than an hour. My wife can't handle listening to me for more than an hour. I mean, come on, give me a break. But it's amazing the listenership that we have, and just it's all about the people, and it's all about the community.
Who came up with the name Rant Radio?
Ooh,
well,
I came up with the logo.
Well, that's a good question. It's sort of formed out of a cloud of things. Like, well, I met Sean and
yeah,
a while back, just before the station started up. And,
one lifetime ago,
and Sean is good at talking. He talks all day long and gets really excited about things. And,
it's a practice thing.
And I've always wanted to run a radio station. I was going to do a pirate before over the air. That's too expensive and too easy to get caught. And I thought, incorporate Sean's enthusiasm and my idea into one big idea. And Sean used to go off on rants, and I said, Sean, people should hear you, more people.
Yeah, rather than just freaking out on the people in the Safeway lineup, maybe you should do it into a microphone. Yeah, okay, that's a good idea.
So Rant and Radio put it together, and the domain name was available, so I picked Rant Radio, and there was no other Rant Radio on the internet.
Bear in mind, this is back in...
99.
Yeah, when there was domains available.
Yeah.
As opposed to now when, you know...
No domains available.
Yeah, everything's pretty much been nailed down. Yeah, when you look back, it almost makes you think of some weird kind of karma thing, how it all sort of worked out, but...
just all came together, really.
Yeah, so there was no...
The rant in Rant Radio is Sean, Sean's rantings, right? And, and the radio came from me, so
yeah.
It came together, and both of us make one...
Maybe we should do that on the business cards. We'll have Sean Kennedy Rant, and on you we'll have Sumerian Radio.
Yeah,
so the radio and Rant Radio. But that's pretty much how it works. I've always had a mind for content, how things sound. I'm a very visual thinker. So the artistic A lot of the conceptual stuff that floats around in my head, you know, it's kind of like I'm the Keith Richards and James is the studio. Yeah. So I can like puke into a microphone and James can make it sound amazing, which is kind of nice. So
so the combination works very, very well together.
Yeah. It's and we've worked together for so long now that I'm currently plotting to kill James. No, but we've worked together for so long that it's kind of second nature now. Like the two of us could have a conversation with a third person and sound like we're on the radio 24/7. Hi, how's it going? Very good. How are you? We're good, thanks. You know, it's just, it's almost sad, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, I found out most of what I wanted to know. If you have anything you'd like to add, now would be a good time.
Yeah, we're currently looking for people to build us genetically engineered two-headed cats and giant robots. That's part of our biggest, bigger business model. We told the guys in Wired Magazine about that because they gave us a great interview. Awesome guys. If you do a search for Pump Up the Bandwidth on the Wired site, you'll find it. But they never put it in the interview, but they're great guys. And they said, what's your business plan for the future? And we said, we're going to take over the Earth with genetically engineered two-headed cats and giant robots.
I think they didn't print that either.
So if you printed that, that'd be great because no one else seems to have the guts to print that. It upsets us, too, because it's a perfectly good business model. Even the guys from Wired, after they stopped laughing, they said it was the best goddamn business model they'd heard in years.
Yeah. So. But, I mean, nobody else is doing it, so why not?
Yeah, you know, really, because there's a market for giant robots. I really think so.
James O'Brien and Sean Kennedy, thank you for being with me today.
Well, thank you very much, Carl, and we look forward to hearing it.
Sure thing. Bye now.
Bye-bye.